Well, hey, cheesy intro mode engaged. Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Banff Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty, and with me today, got a whole mess of people. Let's start with Steve Perrin, RPG luminary, and heck of a nice guy. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing pretty good, Mike. How are you?
All right, thanks for joining us. We have Mr. John Post. How you doing, sir?
Good, good. Good afternoon, everyone.
Yeah, and John Post is an RPG freelancer. He's done extensive work, most recently for Adamant, but he's working for us at Fainting Goat at Fainting Goat as well. And speaking of Fainting Goat, there's Adrian Smith. How you doing, Adrian?
I'm pretty good, thank you.
All right, thanks for joining us. And there is a burgeoning internet celebrity, Dan Hauser.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Good, good. Busy. So,
how famous are you now?
I was a guest at a convention recently. Who knew who I was? So
that's pretty famous.
That was pretty cool. I ended up most of the time hobnobbing with other players of role-playing games, playing in the Pathfinder Society shared world games that they have there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun. Kind of addictive, though, because of all the... Like, seriously, I never thought getting like a copy of like the stuff you get in a game could be so addictive. But it's like every time you play, the GM gives you like this sheet that tells you the things you can buy for your league, your Pathfinder Society legal character, which is so funny because I'm so addicted to getting those sheets now. It's like I just want more sheets, and I actually got to run a game, which means I get more cool stuff that other players might not get. So that's kind of cool.
Uh-huh. Yeah, one of the players in one of my regular games also does that kind of work for them, and he's like gone to Gen Con and so forth purely for the purpose of running games for them.
That is very cool. Yeah, I actually got to hang out with Kyle Baird. He wrote the Gen Con special this year, which was a bunch of different tables playing for the same goal. And winners of that got a really neat prize, but he co-wrote that one. It was Race for the Runecarved Key. So, making contacts as well, all over the board. But yeah, but you got us all here not to talk about RockCon and Pathfinder Society. I'm sure you got us all here to talk about something else.
Well, we're going to be finishing up doing part two of Extraordinary Journey, I Come to Actual Play, with Miss Stacey Montgomery as our GM.
Hello, hello.
Hey, Stacey, thanks for joining us again.
It's always my pleasure.
So let's recap who's playing who. I was playing as the iconic Icons character, Suharo.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and let's see. John, who are you playing?
I'm playing Darkness from Justice Wheels 9.
Sweet. Adrian?
I'm playing my character Flux, the Shapechanger.
Alrighty, and Mr. Perrin?
I'm playing Istar from the League of Champions, one of the original Champions characters. Who I wrote up to use as a character for some scenarios I did in Icons. And so here he is with Icestar fandom, the Icestar fan club and all.
Cool, cool. And Dan, you are the newbie
yes.
to this game. Who are you playing?
I actually rolled up a character who will be appearing. I'll have his stats here in just a moment. I'm going to pull up my character folio. That's trademark. A good buddy of mine, Dan, who made that, the ICF Icons character folio. You can actually get it at the, oh man, Steve's going to kill me.
RPG
new website.
Oh.
Yeah, at RPG Now under Icons character folio, but it's no longer being hosted by Adamant Entertainment. It's going to be at Infinitum Games.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and they're actually the ones hosting the ICF now, and if you would go and get yourself a copy. It may become important when you want to do things like, well, I don't know, run your characters and create your characters for Stark City. At any rate, after my little plug is in, I created a character using just the Icons character folio, random character design. His name is Tesla's Ghost.
Oh.
He's an electronics expert slash physicist who, he's basically a lineman for the Stark City Power and Light Company, who moonlights as a superhero. He's an immigrant from Croatia named Vladimir Zurich, and his powers are, of course, electricity-based. He has Elemental Control 7, Phasing 5, Detection 7, that's energy, and Resistance 3, and that's two electrical attacks.
Huh.
Nice.
He's also probably a co-worker of Icestar's, because his Icestar secret identity of John Grayson is also a lineman.
Excellent.
I suspect someone's origin is in that story somehow.
Yeah.
Very well could be. His qualities
don't
are...
Don't touch that!
Ah! His qualities are the spirit of Tesla, is his epithet. He has an identity as well. Vladimir Zurich, mild-mannered lineman. His catchphrase is, you shall pay for your crimes, and by Tesla's coil. His cell phone. He has a weakness, magnetism-based attacks, and he's also claustrophobic.
And he hates Thomas Edison with a passion of 1,000 burning stars.
I didn't add that in there, but yeah, he's not fond of Edison.
So,
I don't think it'll come up, but who knows?
It was in the crevice of the alien. Yes, it's like Shatner from Star Trek, Ralph Picard, of course. Edison!
His costume just consists of a fake phony mustache that he just puts on. Comes his hair into wings, and then boom.
Does he have a psychic who's a pigeon?
No.
It's just like, it was hilarious in my own head, sorry.
No. I'm like the biggest Tesla geek, so I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes, he has tattoos all over his body of strange shapes he drew for no reason.
All right, wait. Shall we get started?
You guys are going a little deep in the Tesla esoteric at this point.
I feel like I'm learning things as I sit here.
Yes, from Tesla's ghost.
I'm getting smarter. Your group is informally a collection of Stark City Sentinels, and you may remember that in last week's exciting episode, scientific genius Kid Impossible welcomed Cardassian ambassadors, salamander people from another planet, to come to Earth. And open diplomatic relations, and there was a brass band and everything. It was all very exciting, but the arrival of the aliens was spoiled by an attack by some sort of bizarre extremist group, and despite the heroic efforts of the Stark City Sentinels, the Caudation ambassador, Ben Janis, has been shot. An explosive bullet is lodged in his skull, and they dare not remove it surgically because it could be detonated, thus killing the ambassador. Obviously, there's only one thing that could be done, and that is that Kid Impossible proposes the obvious surgical technique of miniaturizing the Stark City Sentinels, putting you in a submarine and sending you into the ambassador's brain to whatever it is you call it when you do something to an explosive bullet to deal with the explosive bullet. How does that plan sound, you guys?
Oh, perfect sense.
It is the most direct route I can think of.
Now, on your way over, you've lost your teammate Desert Storm, who perhaps had lingering injuries from the first fight. But when you get to Kid Impossible's scientific lab, which is where the surgery will be performed, you can pick up Tesla's ghost, who, being electrical sciencey guy, was probably hanging around there anyway.
Oh yes,
And certainly heard about the ambassador. I assume Stark City has a radio station that is composed entirely of interruptions.
Right.
They
can
be. Yeah. I'd like to interrupt this interruption to tell you that the ambassador from an alien world is arriving at the airport. No, wait. I'd like to interrupt that to tell you that he's been shot. Wait. I'd like to tell you that chosen heroes of Stark City are, even now, taking part in a desperate gamble against time to save the ambassador's life and heal the diplomatic rift that could poise two worlds into war. Or something. Something like that. Because, you know, you don't want to... So is Am I correct then in guessing that your whole team is prepared to climb into Kid Impossible's submarine, which he has just for obvious reasons is kept right next to the operating theater at all times anyway.
Well, designed for miniaturization, so I would imagine that is why it is here.
Sure, he's been meaning to test it out, but he's been so busy, what with establishing communication with alien beings, that he really hasn't had time to test it. But it's perfectly safe in theory.
That's good enough for me.
Okay, that's what we want to hear. Darkness, Swaro, Ice Star, Flux, and Tesla's Ghost will climb into the submarine.
Someone stand outside to guard. Was that a plan or endpoint, or are we all going now?
Darkness had initially planned to stay outside and monitor things just in case anything went wrong.
Do you want to still do that, or do you want to stay with the group and have the excitement of becoming very, very small?
I think at least one of us should stay outside just in case the Minutemen stage a second attack.
Now, what's that phrase about splitting the party? Always split the party? Is that how
exactly.
that goes?
Exactly. Well, maybe you're right. Maybe there should be two of us out here. So we're more divided.
I leave this up to you guys to work out for yourselves.
Can I spend a determination?
Is there to watch things?
Can I spend a determination point to stump Sprout a mini Swaro who will stay here and have psychic contact with me?
I don't know. Probably not. Oh, that's a really cool idea, but I don't know. I don't even. It's icons and the duplication rules are just so frightening that I don't even like to touch them.
Okay. Touch them.
Sorry. No. Well, let's see. Swaro.
If someone must stay outside, I will be.
Frank. Swaro, I'm going to go for it. Spend your determination point, and you may have a duplicate Swaro.
Duplicate Swaro, and he has a goatee. And
No. He's indistinguishable, which will be creepy. But you should both pick up maybe the challenge. Not sure if duplicate.
Okay, and then the
which is actually a social challenge because people talking to you would be like, "I'm not. Wait, are you the actual Swaro?" And if, for instance, which one owes. Which one owes Ice Star for lunch?
Well, the real Swaro, please stand up. Okay, I high-five my gorgeous green duplicate self and jump in the miniature size ray to get in the submarine. And having said that, I'm going to have to walk away from the mic for like 3 or 4 minutes so someone else can talk. I'll be back.
We should be able to handle this without Swaro. In that case, is leaving Swaro out on guard or the rest of you climbing into the... Leaving the real Swaro on guard while the bizarre, untrustworthy, and disturbing duplicate comes with you.
Kid Impossible driving, or is one of us?
No, he'll stay behind to Kid Impossible. First of all, will stay behind to monitor and guide the operation. And of course, as he says, you know, are you crazy? That just looks so incredibly dangerous. It's Kid Impossible, not, you know, I'm famed for my intelligence, not for my recklessness.
All right, let's go with that.
Cool. Okay. Are any of you skilled at piloting a submarine or anything?
I can drive a motorcycle. It's got to be basically the same, right?
My alter ego is a teenage kid, so if it's anything like a video game, I can do pretty well as well.
I typically shout my catchphrase and jump into the phone line, so no.
Please tell me you're going to do that all night.
But of course, name is Lester Zurich.
Of course it is. Okay. So having said that, one of you has to sit in the pilot seat.
Is your dog afraid of Russians? Hold on. Is your dog in the '80s? Dog's a fan of Rocky, I guess. I'm sorry, dog.
Who's dog?
I don't know. I heard a dog in the background barking.
It could be could be in any background. It could be anyone on the internet. But I still need a volunteer to sit in the pilot seat.
I'll drive. I'm fairly
bored. Out of the way, you Rusky. I was not offering to drive.
Okay. So the submarine. There isn't a. You know, I'm working with a. I don't know, some sort of playtest document. So I don't have art from which to describe the submarine. But it's really small. Even before miniaturization, this is a little, this is a little experimental exploration sub. You all have to sort of be jammed tightly into it. Would anyone like to tell me which of you have claustrophobia as a challenge?
I do.
Is it just you? Claustrophobia is a fairly common one, so I was hoping we might get.
Yeah.
Hoping we might get a couple. Oh, well.
Not here.
But I think anyone, for instance, I'm going to point out that Swaro has the challenge weird-looking cactus man. I would think that would be an issue when you're all jammed up really close to each other.
Yeah, you're sticking me with your thorns. Why don't you wait outside with your evil clone?
No, they can't work together. They don't get along. Let's see if anyone else has a. I'll point out that Flux is here, right?
Yeah.
And Adrian is Flux. Is also kind of a weird looking monster. Has the challenge that he's a weird looking monstrous sort of slightly formless person. He's probably also very unpleasant to be jammed right up against because you can feel his, you know, when you're pushed up against him, you can actually feel his skin crawling.
These
probably. Probably.
I could shape change into something kind of the same size as myself, so I could be like luggage or something to be stored in a rack somewhere.
Well, because then it would, it could fall on someone's head during turbulence. You wanna, I don't know. Once you're all in and sealed in into this very small, so imagine you're all sort of, I don't know, it's like you're all being stuffed into a mom's SUV. The doors are closed, everything's sealed up, and then the miniaturization process begins. And it's probably really a gorgeous special effect. With brilliant prismatic light and a disturbing, strange sound. I think we can count on that.
Everyone but Steve will be able to pick up a copy of what the cover of the module looks like, and it has the ship on the cover.
So click on
the little cover journey sample JPEG in the
whatever
window.
Whatever I said, you can ignore.
No, it is small. It is a small thing.
It's going to look like the one in the picture. I mean, you know, once people buy it, you know, they're going to see it on the cover, and then they're going to go, that Stacy had no idea what was going on. It's got,
yeah.
And of course, once as the ship starts to miniaturize, you can see a Kid Impossible sort of. Starts to grow in front of you, and then you realize the room around him is growing, and then it starts to feel more like you and your friends and your little thing. You're all like falling into an infinite darkness, until the process seems to stop, and Kid Impossible's voice comes over the wireless. Sort of going, hey, how are you guys doing? But you can't really see much at this point because the world outside the windows is now huge. You're microscopic. You're just microns across. I'm told that you're a mere 10 microns across, but you can't even tell that. If a grain of dust were to go by you, it could crush you. But if everyone's okay, and I guess you are, although claustrophobic Tesla's ghost is probably, I'm not sure how claustrophobics feel about being miniaturized, but I'm guessing that it's a bit of a thing. But since he only has to sit there, at the moment, that's probably not a problem. I imagine a person with electrical powers when he's getting nervous, probably has a little aurora borealis crawling on his skin. So that's probably really cool for everyone else. Or perhaps really disturbing. And of course, if you back away from him, you go right into the spines of Swaro.
Mm-hmm.
And, so there's a lot of sort of uncomfortable shifting and people going, ouch, and that sort of thing. You guys were just not meant to be packed in close.
I'm glad I'm driving.
Absolutely.
Too bad it has bench seating. Like my Buick.
Okay, and you have a sense of motion, and Kid Impossible informs you that you're being the submarine is being manipulated by a magnetic beam. In this case, a very sensitive and delicate magnetic beam, so that you can be surgically inserted into the Cadacian ambassador, Van Genis. And that would be a really fascinating process for me to describe, but we've only got another hour, so if you'll just imagine the exciting special effects sequence, I'll sort of cut ahead to your arrival as you come through the surgical incision. You'll find the vessel moving into Van Genis's body, and let me read this for you, because the person who wrote the scenario for us, and I don't think there's any way of knowing who he is or what his name is. The submarine's lights illuminate the interior of the patient's body. The dark green liquid rushes past the sub's window as it motors towards the alien circulatory system. As the submarine approaches the nearest capillary, Kid Impossible tells you to prepare for entry. A surgical laser extends from the sub and slices into the blood vessel's wall. The capillary enters the gap and bounces against the walls of the capillary as it is swept up by the current. Now, who's piloting this thing again?
Darkness says.
All right, Darkness. We're going to want a coordination test. Let me pull out. Here we are. Here's your thing. You can drive a motorcycle, but I really don't see that as being applicable.
Left is left, right is right. What's the difference, right?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you. Do you have any? This being in genre, I would say that that's not true. But you could always spend a determination point to make that a focused effect stunt and turn driving motorcycle into pilot submarine. But that would only be for specific tests, not for the whole turn. You might.
Right. Yeah, that's not worth it. I'll just wonder. Go with it. Go with
in that case, give me roll some dice. Your coordination is 4, if memory serves.
That's
I say it like that as if I've memorized your character sheets. That's not what's happened. You can't see, but I actually have them here in front of me.
All right. I rolled a 5 and 5, so 0 adder, and so I've got a just base 4.
Coordination is 4. That's a failure. So at the moment, the submarine is bouncing out of control and failing to go in the direction as Kid Impossible is directing you. And one of the problems with doing that is, as Kid Impossible, I've forgotten what voice I was using for Kid Impossible, but Kid Impossible will say, no, don't go off course. It will attract Ambassador's biological defenses. And sure enough,
let me try it.
Help yourself.
Sure.
And do I get a response? Huh?
Tell us what you're doing, sir.
I'm reaching over his shoulder, trying to grab the controls and saying, "Let me try it."
Okay.
I'll phase out of his way.
Ooh, very cool.
Do you want to roll, or should we just crash someplace?
Whatever works for you.
Well,
Stacey, what do you say?
I'm waiting for is Icestar rolling dice?
I am. And of course, naturally, having said that I could take care of it, I essentially come up with two.
You rolled a two, or your total was two?
My total was two. I rolled
six
negative and a two positive.
Okay. In that case, your submarine is definitely out of control and has attracted, by doing so, has attracted the attention of one of the leukocyte-like sort of white blood cell analogs within the vessel, the sort of sealed vessel that your ship is moving through. These are it's hard for you to know how to compare these to human leukocytes, because of course none of you have ever been seen a human circulatory from this perspective, but you can see that it's a large formless dark mass coming up towards your ship, and it's very menacing, and Kid Impossible will call them Mavericites, so we'll use that as the name. And this Mavericite will attach itself to your ship, and sort of glom on to the outside. Kid the Impossible will warn you that you better get rid of it, because eventually these things will swarm and envelop your submarine.
Can I make an intellect check to know whether or not the pressure outside this sub is the same as the pressure inside this sub?
Sure. It's a perfectly good question. I would say I was assuming that there's at least something the size of something big enough for one person to get into and move through, so that you could exit the ship one at a time without, ruining everything.
Do we have diving gear?
No, don't remember. I don't think there's diving gear. This was whole expedition was kind of put together on a wing and a prayer. But how about some kind of rebreathers at least?
All right.
That would give you, 5 or 10 minutes of oxygen. One of those things that looks like someone is permanently playing the harmonica.
Right.
Is one of the most frightening of all images, by the way.
Darkness will grab a rebreather and phase out through the wall.
Fantastic. Outside, it's weirdly warm and fluid, and like being immersed in a syrupy bath, And, of course, you'll be at a minus one penalty to all actions while you're gooping around in there, although, of course, not while you're phasing darkness. You can, so long as you're immaterial, the goop isn't a problem. What's happening?
I will be moving toward the Maversite, trying to intercept it. Or did you say it's already climbing on the
side? It's already glommed onto your ship, and you come right out the side, so you're there.
I'll start pounding on it, trying to just get its attention, distract it from the sub, or move it away from the sub.
So a prowess roll, perhaps.
All right. My roll is a positive one. I've got a prowess of five. I'm sure my Aikido training has taught me on how to attack formless blobs, so that might add plus one.
Fine. let's see. You'd get a minus one for acting in the fluid, but I'll let Aikido cancel that. What was
darkness? A six total, then.
For six total, that's certainly enough to hit an amorphous blob. Let's see. Three. So that's counts as a major success. So if you're just bashing, then you would do damage of your strength, presumably, which is a four.
Right.
That does a little bit of damage. The Maversite has an invulnerability of three because of, which reflects its goopiness. It's not hard to hit, but it's very resilient. So you hit it, but you hurt it, but only a very small amount. Standing there doing that, it would take you some time to smash up this Maversite.
I will communicate to the crew. These things are a little tougher than me just wailing on them with my fist. So if you've got some flare power you can bring to bear on the situation, it would be helpful.
Right, I'll leave. I'll go by the airlock. I don't need the rebreather because I have life support and don't need to breathe. So I shall go out the airlock and see if I can.
Good for you. You can be coming out since he passed through the. Since darkness didn't pass through the airlock, then you can come out in the same turn. So what are you going to do?
I will try and kind of create a fulcrum kind of thing to prise it off of the actual ship itself by using my shape-changing powers to kind of create a jack.
Oh, that seems clever. You've got... That could be a wrestling move, really, for a shapeshifter. Why don't you give me a roll?
Just strength to lift it, to lift or coordination or prowess.
I would think
to be honest, this is the most difference.
I was gonna say strength, and we'll give you the wrestling bonus.
Okay, right. All good. Six on the positive, three on the negative, plus four, seven, plus one is eight.
Which is very successful. Let's see now. Let's see. Eight minus eight is another success. Let me just think about this a little bit. You're grabbing, sort of wrestling, kind of like restraining someone. In that case, you've achieved then, Flux, is that you've got a wrestling hold on this thing, which would normally be impossible because it's essentially a big bag of nasty protoplasm. But you can change shift shape to match it, so you are capable of putting it in a wrestling hold, which I think would normally be possible, and therefore you can prevent it from getting any further purchase on the ship. But actually getting it off has proven has eluded you at this time, probably because it is twice your size. So despite the fact that you've been able to match its strength, It's just huge. If you can imagine, Flux is just fighting a giant predatory protoplasmic sleeping bag.
What, Flux, what's your strength?
4.
So I can, our strengths are close enough that we could cooperate on the next turn and give you a plus one.
That's perfectly reasonable. Of course,
I also have stretching and growth as well, so I can actually probably help my get a bear grip as well if need be by stretching myself around things.
All right, I'll tell Flux. Darkness will tell Flux if you can get it off the ship, I can go inside it and distract it. Hopefully, it'll try to envelop me, and then I can just phase out once the ship is clear.
Now, Darkness and Flux have made their moves. Is anyone else going to do anything this turn, or shall I have the see? Or shall we move on to the end of this turn?
I will put out a rebreather.
Yeah.
I will show by Tesla's coil, and I'll put on a rebreather, phase outside the ship, and blast it with my electricity.
Since you can phase, you can also skip the waiting line for the. That's very cool. I was thinking that I had you guys have to leave the ship one at a time. Having two phasers really helps out. Tell me about this blasting thing, since I don't have your character sheet in front of me.
It's built off of my. It's the attack function of my energy control, my elemental control, electrical. It's 7, so that's the base.
Yeah.
I rolled a total net of 0, so a 5 and a 5, so 7.
You use coordination to hit, though, right?
Yeah,
I'm sorry, right.
Coordination
so 5, rather. Yep, so 5.
So your total is 5, which is these things don't really dodge, so that's barely a problem. In fact, that's so you'll do your full damage. What's your full damage?
I believe my full damage would be.
Oh, that's the 7.
7, correct.
Which will not just defeat this Maversite. It's already taken some damage. I wonder, I'm wondering about using electricity here in this protoplasm environment.
I'm sure it wouldn't have any negative effects by hitting the people touching the Maversite. How could that? Electricity doesn't conduct in salty liquid, does it?
Well, Codation blood salty? I'm not sure.
It's actually made with blend dust. You don't have to worry about it.
I think I'm gonna declare a compromise.
And you're only mostly dead.
Yes, the Maversite is destroyed. A brilliant, fantastic arc of electrical power that causes you all to make little ooh sounds because it's just so impressive. But for Flux and Darkness, who are standing right there, I'm going to hand the two of you an aspect. I'm sorry, aspect. That's I was just reading a fate-based playtest, so I'm using fate language. A challenge called Dazzled, and that will stick around for a little bit. And so you can count yourselves as having an extra. An extra challenge. You can compel that if you want. But that's that is the result of being standing right next to this electrical display. You're a little bit startled or disrupted.
It's better than taking 7 points of damage, so I'll take it.
Absolutely. Well, that seemed excessive. Okay, so the Leucocyte is. The Leucocyte's destroyed, so what do you guys want to do?
At the same time, they're doing all that?
Yep.
Hello? Since Darkness left the pilot seat, I-Star is slipping into the pilot seat so we can have full control over the controls.
Fine thing to do. All right, is everyone coming back in?
Yeah, I'll come back in. Darkness will come back in phase through the wall.
Okay.
I'll stay on patrol for more days. I'll float along outside. I can fly.
So long as you stay, sort of maybe moor yourself to the ship magnetically, I think that will make perfect sense. Okay, I-Star, take it away.
Okay, here we go. Okay, we're using my coordination, right?
Yes, your coordination is six, okay. I think.
Six. And since I came out balanced, it's a six.
Oh, okay. That is, if you roll a six, that is success. So you have got control of the ship, which is really, really nice. This will allow you to follow with the I-Star at the controls, and making one of his special deliveries. He's able to get the ship back on course, or actually on course for the first time. And, of course, you don't have far to go because, unlike in the movie, we didn't accidentally put you, you know, on the other side of the body. You were actually surgically put into the body right by the bullet. So when the heroes arrive, you can see that the bullet just sort of is many times larger than your submarine, and it looms up ahead of like a wall. You know, it's obviously much bigger than the blood vessel you're in, and it's much much bigger than your ship. So it just comes across the artery that you're going through like a big wall of metal. But you've all been shot with plenty of bullets, so you even in your small size, you recognize it for what it is.
That's no moon.
that's exactly the line. There's a bunch of Maversites sort of swarming around it, and it looks like they're trying to, plaster themselves up against it and swarm. And whether they'll be able to actually do that or not, I don't know. It's just so big. It's a beautiful and impressive sight. And, what we really need is a great artist to draw it for us. But you've just got me to say, wow, it's really impressive. So what are you guys going to do as you approach this this giant bullet?
Do we have a miniaturization ray on the ship, or is there what was the plan here?
The plan is that you guys have to somehow disable the explosive. You know, you are superheroes.
Well, I am pretty good at electronics. I'll swing over to the bullet and look at it to see what the detonator looks like.
Well, you can't see. All you can see is the metallic outer casing.
No, I phase my face and look inside.
I have to think about this. It seems to me that you're like a micron across. Even if you poke your head inside the bullet, it's like sticking your head inside the Enterprise and asking what Kirk's chair looks like. It would be some work to find it.
I can phase in. Darkness can phase in, and darkness can see in the dark. So I can go inside and look around.
I look in a bucket. Well, it's dark in here. I see darkness.
So I'll go in. Darkness will go in and look around and tell you what he sees, Tesla's ghost.
Does any of you know anything about explosives or exploding bullets?
I know what a firecracker looks like.
I was thinking more in terms of a quality or specialty.
We left our military guy back at the airport.
That is unfortunate. Kid Impossible will probably tell you that the over your radios that the and you guys have leverage quality radios. I should have specified that. The detonating trigger would be connected to a sensor at the nose of the bullet. Sorry, I'm not a ballistics technician, so I'm not sure if nose is the correct word.
Good enough.
I will go to the top of the bullet and see if that's the nose. And if it's not, I will go to the bottom of the bullet.
Yeah, you should be able to find your way to the nose. And there's a, you know, there's gigantic electrical switches there. Like, huge. I mean the electrical components at your scale, looking at electrical components is like that, you know the movie Forbidden Planet?
Right, right.
You know that shopping mall scene where they see the giant Krell shopping mall?
Uh-huh.
That's like that.
So how big would a wire be to me, like the size of a tree trunk?
Yeah, something like that. Probably right. Bigger, but, you know, but what the hell do I know?
So, you think some cold will help?
I will communicate this back to the crew. So, should I just start pulling wires? Is that what Kid Impossible thinks would be best?
Actually, I was going to ask Tesla what his specialties are. Since I don't have a Tesla's ghost character sheet in front of me.
What did you need?
Well, what are your specialties?
My specialties are electronics expert and science physics.
And you've got electrical. I'm going to say that you're probably the one who can figure out how that trigger works.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be.
Do you want me to give it a shot?
Sure. What do you want to do?
All right. I will. Can I see the trigger myself?
You can phase in to with getting directions from darkness. You should be able, and since you can phase and follow him, you can certainly find the trigger.
All right, I see the trigger. Oh, nice. Okay, I got a 5, a 6, and a 1.
Tell me what you're doing.
I'm going to use. The total would then be 6. I'm going to use. Well, maybe higher than that. I'm actually using intellect, which is 5.
Yeah.
Plus my electronics expert.
Yeah.
Which gives me
a seven,
and then I got a 5. So that would be 12.
12.
And what's the outcome you're hoping for from all of this?
Knowing what triggers this explosive.
You mean just disarming the explosive, right? Since you rolled a 12.
Yeah. Well, I have to look at it before I disarm it. I have to know how it is disarmed. I would imagine first before I disarm it. As much as I would like to cheese right through this, I'm pretty sure I have to figure it out mentally before I physically do it.
Well, I mean, honestly, what was the number again?
12 total.
It's a 12 total. I mean, that's a massive cosmic success, isn't it? Well, actually, it isn't, because this would be there is a difficulty. Let's see.
It's being alien technology and all.
The bullet is from the bullet was shot by a human sniper from one of the terrorists. Let me just see.
Yeah.
Will be 12, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That would still make it a massive success. Effort succeeds and grants benefits. I'm going to say that you, because of your high success, you have grokked. Tesla's ghost has grokked the function of the switch and knows how to deactivate it, which will take the form of a helpful aspect called knows how to deactivate.
Okay. I know how to deactivate this.
Which you would get a free tag on.
Okay. Great.
And I would say, of course, you're too small to deactivate it physically, but you would know how to do it with, your electrical power.
Okay. So, do you want me to... I know how to deactivate it. Should I just...
That's up to you. If you want to... for all I know, this is where you're going to, do your heel turn and
now declare. You're a racist. Now, this is racist. You always think double agent.
You could just roll the dice and try to deactivate this thing.
Well, foreign guy is double agent. Why not guy made of dirt? He's dirty.
He's a veteran, man. You better watch what you say.
You can't argue with any of that. You're...
But he is made of dirt. It could be anything. You don't know.
Roll the dice.
I zap it with my zappy ray of zapping.
I'll fix it with electricity. Maybe I will not do that.
We're all dead.
I zap it with a negative 2 result added to my character's coordination of 5 gives me a 3. For Zappity.
Huh?
3. You get a free tag plus 2 of 5.
Okay.
Because of the help because of the knows how to do it aspect. That gets you up to a 5, which is at least a success. You've already essentially scored a massive success against it before. That certainly counts. You've deactivated the exploding bullet. Mission accomplished.
It will not explode, but aliens still have bullet and brain.
Yeah, but that could be removed surgically if you could get the hell out of there.
Yes, these sounds
as
like
Kid Impossible says. Yeah,
let's get out of here. I'm claustrophobic.
Yeah, I probably should have been hitting you for that one, but I'm such a nice person.
Well, I mean, the vein is now the size of a cavern. Like, it's the size of the Luray Caverns. I'm not worried about that.
That's true, and you have been staying outside of the submarine, which is very smart. Okay. Very reasonable. So you guys, you now have a problem. You have to decide how to get out of the ambassador's body. Kid Impossible explained to you that there's two possibilities. Well, you can be removed surgically, or you can try to pass out more naturally.
Which is the faster option?
First way is quicker, but, you know, there's always a chance it's more likely to hurt the ambassador, whereas the second way is safer, but, you know, who knows how long it will take you to pass through the...
Fast way I want. I want fast way.
Now, that makes perfect sense, given your... this decision is up to the group, so...
I take it there's no limited time on the actual shrink ray as well. We're not going to start growing inside this guy into like half an hour.
Yeah, well...
No, there's probably
time. If we can keep the submarine next to the bullet, we can just ride the bullet out when they surgically remove it.
That makes perfect sense to me.
And now we have to fend these things off while we wait.
Well, the things are trying to swarm the bullet now, right?
Yes, they will be removing the bullet as quickly as possible.
So are they attacking us too?
Yeah, I would say if you stay in here with the bullet there, you'll certainly be at risk for assault. The Maversites haven't really responded to you yet because, frankly, the bullet is so much bigger than you that it has focused their attention. I mean, these things are not exactly rocket scientists.
Okay.
Although, they could exist inside a rocket scientist.
Yeah. Oh, undoubtedly, they do, into a salamander rocket scientist anyway.
Exactly. And the salamander did come here in a rocket. So it all makes a kind of sense.
Well, my suggestion is that I bring the boat up to the bullet,
yep,
and then use my ice powers to attach it to the bullet.
Ooh!
And then we can.
I like that plan. Why don't you give me a roll based on using your ice powers, say a coordination roll, and we'll see how effective you are at creating this. Nicely, I was going to say aerodynamic, but I believe it would actually be a hemodynamic blister to connect you to the.
Oh, that was a good time for that. Okay, so I positive 4, negative 1, that makes plus 3 to my coordination of 6, which makes 9, plus my power use expert, ice powers, makes it 11.
Which is ridiculously successful. In that case, I will say it will only be you guys can just sort of sit in your ice-covered submarine for a few minutes, which is all it will take for you to be removed surgically by Kid Impossible doing his sort of laser and magnetic surgery. While that's happening... can I have Swaro's attention? Or is Swaro with us?
Hello?
Hello? Is Suara there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
I think I can.
Okay, what's up?
Okay, I wanted to check in with you, since there's an alternate Suara on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I'd check in and see how you did when some renegade xenophobes tried to attack the operating theater while this this adventure was taking place.
How many are there?
Well, you'd have been standing there when a bunch of crazed-looking guys come running in through the door. Oh, there must be four or five of them. With odd, super science-looking weapons. And, of course, they're wearing lab coats. And they yell things like, "Everyone, get away from the damned alien." Oh, wait, this is Silver Age, so they would say, "Darned alien."
Okay, so how many are there?
Let's say there's five of them.
Okay, I've got... And they all storm into the same operating room as the doctors and nurses and myself.
Yeah, and probably one or two of the Cardassian ambassador's bodyguards who will be very unhappy to see how this happening.
Okay, no problem.
They may be a little suspicious, what with you guys having gotten the ambassador shot in the first place.
I certainly would be if I were them. Okay, so I need to take out as many guys as possible, as quickly as possible. So I'm going to spend a point of determination and do a strength stunt to, let's see, I'm looking in the book under strength. Is there any kind of ground stomp or thunder, you know, hand-to-hand clap I could do to...
Well, if you're willing to take a minus four, you can always attack a group.
Okay.
Suaro has a fairly, I mean, since Suaro's prowess in coordination... Prowess is three. A minus four to attack a group is a pretty is a fairly serious minus to take, especially since I think you just spent all your determination.
I only spent. Oh yeah, wait. I just spent one to stump sprout, right? I still got. I started with two, so I should have one left.
That makes sense, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. Can I just do a strength stunt? Create, you know, do a directed hand clap and try to knock everybody over with the burst of wind for my mighty strength 9 hand clap?
You can certainly do that. It would create a
okay.
You would just roll a prowess roll and try to make it. I guess we could argue that it could be a coordination roll, but since they're both three, it doesn't matter. I don't think wrestling really helps. Yeah, I would say make a roll a really high number.
Okay, let's try. First D6, I'll call it positive because it's 6. Second D6, I roll, it's negative 3. So total of 3 plus 3 for 6.
You roll a 6. Let's see, these guys, well, these scientists are not terribly tough. Give you a, let's see, that's a 6. Their coordination is 3.
Their prowess.
4. I would say that, the prowess. So let's see. What was your number again?
Total of 3.
Total of 3. That means you succeed by a 1. It's a moderate success. So you should do the attack's damage. Okay, I will say that that's a completely successful move. I sometimes forget how ridiculously powerful Suaro is. Your amazing thunderclap will knock these guys to the ground, probably throwing an unpleasant "what was that you said" aspect on everyone in the room. Since those things are not really meant to be done indoors.
Well, that's true.
Okay.
And I think I just delayed your extraction, guys. Sorry about that.
Well, the extraction happens while that's going on. So that's not too bad. I'd say you guys have saved the ambassador's life. me know. I think that's actually kind of cool.
Right.
You guys should be pretty happy, and I think we got it done a little bit earlier than usual, too, which is nice. We still got a few minutes left before. Oh, no, wait a minute. Alarms are going off. The Kid Impossible's operating theater is under attack from the outside. Those xenophobic scientists were just the inner traitors softening things up for a big assault. The villains, the evil Minutemen, the xenophobic terrorists who started the whole problem by shooting Ben Jenness, they come crashing through the walls, led by the Minuteman, known around the world to be the leader of this, the sort of super soldier leader of this nasty bunch of anti-alien terrorists. And poor Suaro, number two, is left standing there flat-footed and all alone while Kid Impossible struggles to get the bullet out so that since that's where the rest of the team is. Suaro, as the Minuteman and a bunch of his goons and several of his mid-level flunkies come crashing through the wall with the help of some sort of explosive charge. What are you going to do about it?
Desert plants are survivors. I say my catchphrase, and I have no...
If you had any determination, it would have been really handy.
Yeah, let's see. how many guys am I facing?
Well, there's the Minuteman and his known accomplices, Contagion, Deadeye, the Dominatrix, and probably 7 or 8 of his soldier goons.
Okay, no determination. I can't do any more strength stunts. I can just take a -4 to attack a group. Can I use aura and have it be directed just against them, or is the amount of determination pretty much SOL on that?
That's a perfectly fine question. Aura actually doesn't come up that often in my life. I'm actually looking at the icon's book, page 49. Surround yourself with a damaging effect like sharp spines. Anything touching you suffers 1 level damage. If you deliberately touch... Yeah, to try to shoot it out at them, that would be an aura stunt.
Yeah. Which requires determination, which I don't have any of. I don't have any challenges that are...
Unless you'd like to take on a new temporary challenge.
Like what?
And I'll happily give you a determination for it.
Sure, what's that?
I don't know. Well, what would you like? What if you're still a little dizzy from... How about only a duplicate?
I'm just a copy. How can I possibly do this?
Which could be used against you in the next round. So, you've added the challenge of only duplicate, for which you gain a single point of determination. What would you like to do? You want to try an aura stunt?
Nope, thunderclap in the direction.
You're going to try the thunderclap again. Well, these guys won't go down quite so easy as those eggheads, but give it a try.
Okay. 1 second. Man, I'm the Jim Belushi of superheroes. I'm just a copy. I think, guy. I don't have a chance here. Okay.
You're the Gallagher 2.
Gallagher 2. All right. First roll, which is my positive die, is a 3. Second roll, which is my negative die, is a 5. So I have a total of 1, since my coordination or strength is a 3. So
your total is 1.
Yeah.
That's your attack is completely ineffective.
Damn it. I really am the Jim Belushi of superheroics.
Now, as the Minuteman, known to be the horrible terrorist Captain Roger Stevens, he'll come right up and smack at you. You might want to roll to defend yourself.
Okay.
Oh, no, you don't even get to roll, because you have a challenge called Only a Duplicate, and you're so distressed at having failed that you pretty much will fail to defend yourself, allowing him to clobber you. And you can...
that's from the aura steps in, isn't it?
I'm sorry, what's that?
That's when the aura comes in, doesn't it?
Actually, yeah. That's a very good point.
All right, see ya.
I certainly would not have thought of that. Attacking you unarmed does count as an unarmed attack. Okay. Captain Steve Rogers takes damage from your aura.
Not Steve Rogers, no.
Roger Stevens.
Yeah.
He takes damage. He takes 4 points of damage in hitting you, but you take 5 points of damage. 5 stamina points there, Mighty Swaro.
Okay, so I'm down to 10.
Right.
Because desert plants are survivors.
Because desert plants are survivors. Anyway, so that's the Minuteman, the first villain to come through the breach in the wall. That brings us to the next turn. At this point, the bullet is out of the while all this exploding is going on, Kid Impossible is bravely surgically away and has removed the bullet. And you guys are starting to grow. You'll grow pretty quickly, so you can probably be of some help in the next turn.
How about the submarine?
What's that?
Is the submarine growing too?
Yes. Yes, it'll just shatter the hemodynamic blister. Sorry, I just wanted to say hemodynamic again. As it starts to grow, the ice will just shatter. Actually, no, because the ice will grow too, right? Or will it?
Yeah, the bullet's
not growing.
Right.
Yeah,
the bullet comes out, and you guys would just probably Kid Impossible just set the bullet on the ground there on the floor there in the operating theater, and the ice and the submarine will just start to blossom. Hopefully, he gives it a push,
yeah,
or a throw, so that it doesn't crush the ambassador on the operating table. Comes in. Meanwhile, so while you guys are doing that, you're sort of out of the battle. The Caudation bodyguards are now fighting the Minutemen, trying to keep them away from the ambassador as he lays there on the operating table. Swaro, you're still the only one who can make a move. What are you doing? You've got Captain Roger Stevens, the Minuteman, standing right in front of you, and he's about to take you out with one of his famous pressure point punches.
Okay.
Which are famous, by the way.
I understand they're well known. Well, even though I'm only the carrot top of the superhero team, I'm going to do the best I can, and I will make a prowess attack if I succeed in getting him in a wrestling hold.
Prowess attack to wrestle. Go ahead and make a roll.
Okay. Positive die was 5, negative die was 2, that was 3, plus 3 for power, total of 6.
Sorry, what was the total?
6.
It was a total of 6. It's actually, that's a... and you're up against Minuteman... Oh, wait a minute. Is wrestling against prowess?
I thought wrestling was against prowess.
The greater of the target's prowess, coordination, or strength. Who would have thought? So it's actually against a 7. What did you roll?
Total of 6.
Total of 6 is not sufficient, my friend. You will not get a wrestling hold on the Minuteman, who is, after all, one of the world's greatest living combatants. And instead, he will attack you, make your prowess, make your parry.
Let's see. I'm using coordination for that, right?
No, it's a regular parry, so it's your prowess.
Okay.
Same number in any case.
All right, total on that's going to be 1.
Total is 1, which is not sufficient, so he slams you. Now, let me just see.
Did he punch him again?
Yes, but this time he's using his special mastery of pressure points. Test. Oh, very good, though. This is a test against strength. So, Suaro, why don't you roll your strength, which is a 9, by the way, as he will attempt to paralyze you.
Okay, cool. Positive die is a 2, negative die is a 3, so combined with my 9 strength, I have an 8.
Which means he Captain Roger Stevens walks up to you with that cool, calculating, evil look on his face. He raises 2 pronged fingers, and with incredible precision, he says, "This isn't a desert, son. This is an operating table, and I'm the gardener." And he jams his fingers into that very sensitive point where your shoulder blade, however, with no effect. And then he does it again, sort of like, oh,
does
that
he hurt himself that time too?
Yeah, does he get another?
Yes, another 4.
I hit you with my bare hands. Oh, that's so stupid.
Yes, he is in fact. If he hits you one more time, you could yet defeat him.
He is a gimbus.
This round I will declare that the rest of the Stark City Sentinels are free of their icy containment and only slightly smaller than usual.
Hurrah, hurrah, hurrah!
Huzzah!
And as you guys look around, you can see that the operating theater is has a bunch of soldiers in it. There are doctors and technicians scrambling for cover. There are several well-armed salamanders standing in front of the body of another salamander, which is in the middle of the room on an operating table, and they are trying to hold off the Minutemen, who are mostly look like armored military goons. Would you guys like to pick a side?
That'd be awesome, fellas.
It is traditional, and we've only got like 10 minutes, so, you know.
I will zap the leader in the face with electricity.
Perfectly reasonable. What's your coordination?
My coordination is 5.
Your coordination is 5? Well, why don't you give me a roll based on that?
Okie dokie.
I take it by the leader you mean Captain Roger Stevens, the guy who's jabbing away at your other friend.
I got a positive 3 for a total of 8.
Positive 3 for a total of 8 is effective. What's your damage?
7.
Oh! Holy crap. Except he has a danger sense. He will leap out of the way. And his danger sense is more than enough to avoid your blast. I forgot he had a danger sense. Who's next? Suaro, I'll point out. I'm sorry, what?
Istar is going to blast one of the subsidiary leaders.
Excellent. Do it. This is your ice blast attack.
This is my ice blast attack. Okay, coordination 6, power use expert for 2 more, and 1 total on the roll for a total of 9.
Oh, for a 9. That's excellent. It's 2. There was a guy just breaking through. He was wearing the tatters of some kind of a disease containment suit, and he was just reaching one leprous, hideous hand for Ambassador Ben Janice's body when you blast him for ice blast 7.
Right.
And that will more or less knock him down and cover him with ice. Would anyone else like to play in this clan base?
Okay, cool. I am going to use my transformation powers and turn into a Triceratops, and I'm going to rush one of them.
Wow. A Triceratops. I'd say you're that's a prowess attack, so roll prowess.
Okay, it's a 2 on the positive and a 1 on the negative, so that is a total of 5 for prowess.
Total of 5 for prowess against this Minuteman, who has a prowess of 4. That works just fine. Strength, armor, and that knocks down one of these soldiers.
All good.
Well done, and very impressive with the big with the Triceratops.
Hey, thanks for the assist, Flux. I'm getting worried here.
Swarrow, I'll point out that there's 2 of you.
Let me let everybody else go before I start hogging the spotlight. How about that?
Okay. Have we heard from Darkness then?
Not yet. How are the troops, the Minutemen? How are they doing, faring? Are they getting through the hole, or are they?
Yeah, they are coming through the hole. The first one that came through the hole, of course, got blasted with ice. And the second one through was just smacked up against the wall by a Triceratops. I'd say it's getting very crowded in this operating theater. May make everything difficult for everyone. Also, the Caudation bodyguards have taken out at least I'd say they've taken out one of the soldiers, and they've also taken out a woman in a supervillain costume.
Oh, good. I will try to use my emotion control against. One of the, not the main supervillain, but whoever else is standing around.
Your targets at the moment would be Captain Roger Stevens and the next goon coming through the wall.
Who's the next? Is the next goon just a?
The next goon is actually a big guy with a sniper rifle. He's wearing glasses, and he's wearing like a what do you call those? Bose headphones.
Right. Noise canceling headphones.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'm gonna give him the old emotion control. Try and send him running out of fear. Is it? You should be afraid of the darkness.
Let's see. That's afraid of the darkness. That is emotion control. Counts as roll your emotion control attack.
All right, I've got a 5 on the dice. Or no, I'm sorry, a 3 on the dice. You subtract, not add. I've got a power of 7 and a willpower of 6. I think it's a willpower test.
Right? It is a willpower test. What was the total on your roll?
9.
Okay. Let's see. And this is against the Deadeyes. He would resist with willpower. 4-9 is a massive success. Just
does he wet himself?
That's emotion control. Fear. You flee or cower? I would say that he's able to flee, so he will run.
Yay!
He's horrified. Whatever it is he saw just for a moment there in his own mind was just too much. Was just too much to bear. Swara, what are you doing? I'll point out that Captain Roger Stevens is still standing there. He did dodge a bolt of electricity. But
let him punch you. Let him punch you.
He probably won't make that mistake again.
Well, he's made it twice now. We can always hope.
Mind you, he's in front of the other one. He's not in front of the one that's taking this move. The other one's already moved this turn, the other Swarrow.
Which Swarrow is moving now?
This is the Swaro, you, Swaro, the real Swaro, the one that was in the submarine, is advancing on the duplicate Swaro and Captain Roger Stevens.
Okay, I'm going to do the same thing the fake Swaro Troy tried to do. I'm going to go for a prowess wrestling attack.
Roll.
1 and 1, so 0, so my prowess is a 3, so that's total on this.
Your total is a 3. That's not going to be enough because Captain Roger Stevens has his amazing danger sense.
Does this Swaro still have an extra determination point?
No. Oh. No, the Swaros don't have separate determination points.
Well, let me ask you a question then. Can I do a charge attack where I run into one Swaro knocking him into Captain Rogers?
I like it.
Yes, but you would have to wait for the next turn.
Darn it. Okay.
And of course, now, Captain Roger Stevens, has learned not to hit you guys. He will simply pull his, his rifle, that he's got, slung around his shoulders and, blast you with it. Why don't you try to dodge? Give me a coordination roll, Mighty Swaro.
Which Swaro are you shooting?
The second Mighty Swaro, the real Mighty Swaro.
Okay.
One that was miniaturized.
All right, -2 on the roll. Coordination is a 3, so it's a 1 altogether.
So 1 altogether means he shoots you with his rifle. You'll take 5 points of damage.
So I have 10 left.
Yeah. What's everyone else doing? That would bring us around, I think, to Tesla's ghost.
I will attempt to. I will shout, "By Tesla's coil!" and change my specific attack to from a blast to a burst effect. So it's an area of effect attack rather than a direct attack, since he's so dodgy and stuff.
He is.
And spend my determination for this. Boom, boom! To hit them all, if I can.
Wait, you're spending you're spending determination to get a bonus on this?
Correct.
And
shouting my catchphrase and doing an area of effect on everyone still standing. Boosh.
Give me that's still a coordination roll. So let me hear some dice hitting table.
I'm actually using the roller online.
Oh, just do it. Yes.
Okay. The total is 10.
Oh.
With a 5. Yeah, with a 5. Positive and a 5 for coordination.
5 positive and
yep.
5 for coordination. And yep. And you're spending a point of determination to make it a 12?
Yes.
Because that, at 7, that blast will take out Captain Rod Stevens and his remaining goons.
Hooray!
Which allows you guys at 9 o'clock exactly, which is when how much time we were given. You guys have defeated the final villain. Since we're short on time, we'll cut ahead to the fact that you have driven off or defeated the Minutemen. You have saved the life of the ambassador, Benjamin.
Yeah.
By saving life, you've made the Kodashians decide that Earth people are not evil traitors after all. And the possibility, as Benjamin recovers, he's grateful for all the hard work and the sacrifice of a poor extra Swaro, who eventually just withers away because they're congealed.
Oh.
Because desert plants are singular, and so a new age of wonderful, if somewhat annoying, diplomacy between Earth and Kodasha is open. And the Silver Age.
I have a question.
Yes.
We keep up with the Kodashians? I make a joke.
It's a fine.
I want you all to know, by the way, that Icestar's got all this on video for his fan club.
That's very well done. And,
it's an American joke. It's funny, no?
Yeah.
It's very funny. All right.
And you guys win.
Yeah.
And you're all very happy, and you're standing there alone in your shame.
We jump in the air and pause as we grin.
Yeah.
I'd like to I'd like to thank John Post for providing the scenario, and I'd like to apologize a dozen times for everything I just did to it. But it's a wonderful scenario, and for those of you listening at home, I should say it's actually rather better than what I just did. But because of the time constraints of our format, I may have skipped over the good parts, and I apologize to all for that. But it's like convention play, only worse.
And this will be soon published from Printing Ghost Games, and we're actually working on the art right now.
And I'm doing some artwork for it. Hooray!
Dan's already done the cover. We're going to do some interiors.
I look forward to seeing some of my favorite comic book RPG artwork.
Yay!
Whew, okay. Well, hey, guys. I'm going to stop recording here in a second, and then we can talk about the art assignments for this particular module. But for everyone tuned in, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. And the horrible sign-off that we use for this podcast is Make Mine Banff. So until next time.
Yay!
Yay. Thanks.